Today on Family Talk.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm so glad you've joined us today for Family Talk. And we're continuing our Ignite Men's Week. All this week, every program oriented toward encouraging and uplifting men. I'm taking the reins today for Dr. Dobson, as he and his wife Shirley again are in Washington, D.C. for the National Day of Prayer. They'll be at the Rose Garden Ceremony today at the White House as the President honors the National Day of Prayer and offers up a proclamation, as well as participating in the National Day of Prayer festivities and services that take place on this day. Continue to keep them in your prayers, and I hope that you'll join them in their prayers for this nation. You know, there's an all-out assault on manliness in this culture, and frankly, I think it's quite repulsive. Men are portrayed as toxic, knuckleheads, incompetent, even complete failures. These baseless caricatures have caused men to feel, I think, inadequate and worthless in a lot of ways. To you men listening, these programs are intended again to strengthen your heart and to challenge you to be the leaders that God's called you to be. And for all of you women out there listening to today's broadcast, you're going to clearly understand why we brought this program to Family Talk. It will, I think, uplift you and encourage you in your relationships with the men in your life. Listen, God delights in being able to work in and through you to influence that man in your life to be more like Christ. That's what this broadcast is all about. I hope you guys are ready for today because we have a dynamic, energetic presentation for you by Dr. Rick Rigsby. He's a former award-winning journalist and currently is president and CEO of Rick Rigsby Communications. You may also recognize his name from his viral speech entitled Lessons from a Third Grade Dropout, which was viewed by over 200 million people on the internet. Dr. Rigsby spent over two decades as a college professor and served as a character coach for the Texas A&M Aggies football team. I wish you could have been with us that day when Dr. Rigsby spoke to more than 5,000 men at this Ignite Men's Impact Weekend. What happened could only have been of God. I think you're going to sense and feel that as you listen to him speak today. Let's go now to Dr. Rick Rigsby and his presentation on this edition of Family Talk.
What's up, men? What's up, y'all? How y'all doing? Man, it is great to see y'all. I couldn't wait to get to Lynchburg, Virginia. I went shopping just for y'all. Watch this. I got my shirt at Walmart. I got my, come on, y'all. I got my cowboy boots at Kmart. I got my jeans at Fat Mart. I'm telling you, I'm ready to go. Y'all, I'm ready. I love being in Lynchburg, Virginia, and I love being with you brothers. I missed y'all last year, I really did. Couldn't wait to get here this year. I am a black neck, red neck, come on somebody. Have y'all enjoyed this so far? We have been laughing and crying this entire time, and we got even greater things to come. I am so privileged to share with you what the Lord has been sharing with me. How many of you are willing and courageous enough to say, God, I want more of you? Raise your hands. Lord, do you see our hands? We want more of you. Listen to me. Everybody say, I'm listening.
I'm listening.
That's not good enough. That's a good Lutheran level. Come on. Nothing against Lutherans. Great tater tot casserole, whatever that is. Everybody say, I'm listening.
I'm listening.
God is looking for a few godly men. We've been doing a lovely job playing church. Just keep looking straight ahead like I'm not talking to you. We've been doing a lovely job just smiling and profiling and laughing when it's not funny and scratching where it doesn't itch. And God has been talking to me. Maybe this doesn't have anything to do with you, but God has been talking to me. And this is the message that he's been saying. Seek me like you've never sought me before. I'm looking at the United States of America, in my opinion, still the greatest country in the world. Come on, somebody. I'm looking at a country that our grandparents and our great-grandparents and our great-great-grandparents built. And if they were here today, listening to the shallow, superficial, rhetorical diatribe that drapes a narcissistic culture, they would just be ashamed. Don't know what bathroom to go in. Are you kidding me? Shooting up people just because? Are you kidding me? And now, the latest, we're going to pay to cheat the system so our babies can get into school. I'm going to tell you the problem. A lack of God. We've kicked God. Can you hear me, balcony? Can all you Baptists up there hear me? We've kicked God out of politics. We've kicked God out of the schools. We've kicked God out of church. And God has been telling me lately, Ricky, don't you dare kick me out of your life. Seek me like you've never sought me before. Forsake all else. I'm telling you, God is looking for about 10 of us who will be so committed to him that we'll stop playing around, that we'll stop shucking and jiving, that we will stop doing all those things that we know we ought not do and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I have a scripture. The scripture is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. It's a very familiar scripture. You all know it by heart. But let me just read it. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That is the message that Jesus has been preaching to my heart over this past year. He will not let me leave Matthew 16, 24. What the Lord is saying to me, I'm wondering if he's saying it to you this very hour. Walk with me. Talk with me. Seek me like you've never sought me before. Give me an opportunity to lead you. Is he saying this to anybody in here? Return to me. Nothing you have done is so bad that you can't return to Christ right now. Come on, somebody. Pew Research, P-E-W. It's a research group. Pew Research says 25% of Christians don't even believe in a biblical God. God, what's happened to us? Lifeway, you know them stores? Lifeway Research, they do research. They say, we love the Bible, we just don't read it. Mm-hmm. How many of y'all have heard of Craig Groeschel, wrote this great book, The Christian Atheist? You know what he said? Craig Groeschel said, we love God, we just live as though God doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Leonard Ravenhill, if you haven't read Why Revival Tarries, you need to put it on your list. Leonard Ravenhill says, we don't need a new definition of the gospel. What we need is a new demonstration of the power of the gospel. You know what Leonard Ravenhill said? Listen to me. Everybody say, I'm listening. That's much better. As a former communications professor, let me just remind you, 50% of what you hear, you forget. Just like that, of the remaining 50%, you lose 28% over the next 34 hours. Everybody say, I'm listening. Leonard Ravenhill said, the church, we love the church. How many of us love the local church? We love the church. Leonard Ravenhill said this decades ago. The church used to be a lifeboat in Ezekiel 34, going out seeking and saving the lost. Now the church has become a cruise ship entertaining the masses. Almighty God is issuing a call saying, who among us will rise up? If you call yourself a godly man, start acting like a godly man. That means you put away childish things. What does that look like, Rick? That means you deny yourself. Everybody say deny. That means you take up the cross, your cross. Everybody say cross. That means you follow God. Everybody say follow. Y'all, a shallow, superficial society that is straight away from God has produced Christian men who are lukewarm. If it doesn't apply to you, thank God, go out there and be a blessing to others. But I've just described so many men in our culture. We look like a Christian. We smell like a Christian. Mm-hmm. We act like a Christian. We raise our hands at the appointed time. We even have Christian friends who look and think and act just like us. Mm-hmm. We even have nice places we live. We even have nice guns and nice pickup trucks. Somebody say amen. We have all these things, and we think that that is what builds our Christian value. I got friends in Dallas. They drive Land Rovers. They ain't even got no land. You see, a thing cannot build your value. A superficial culture is characterized by two words, men: lukewarm. Let me just describe what a lukewarm man looks like. You love titles, but you don't love people. You sing what a friend we have in Jesus, but you haven't talked to a friend all year long. You pay your tithes, but you don't pay attention. You use Christian words, but you don't know the Word of God. You go to church on Sunday, but act like hell on Monday. And I hear God saying, whoa. Everybody say, whoa.
Whoa.
I looked up the definition of that word. Everybody listen, look up. The word woe means great misfortune. The word woe means sorrow. Great misfortune will follow the person who is lukewarm. God is calling us. This is a call. God is calling, saying, will you rise up? Will you elevate up? Will you change your game status from inactive to being active? God is calling us up. He doesn't want lukewarm. He wants godly men who can change the culture of this community, of this state, of this country, and of the world. Politics hasn't done it. The government hasn't done it. Commerce hasn't done it. But how many of you know that God's hands are not tied up, and he's looking for men in this room who will stand up and let their light shine in such a way that men will see their good works and glorify their Father who's in heaven? Is it you, sir? Is it you, brother? In other words, it's time to stop shucking and jiving. Come on, men. It's to stop playing church. It's to stop playing kissy-kissy with Almighty God, like he's nothing more than a celestial vending machine that you put a coin in and manipulate its handle. He's not some grandfather that winks at our sin. He is Almighty God. And pastors, let me remind you, we're supposed to not just talk about heaven, but we're to talk about hell. We're to talk about the fire of the Holy Ghost. We're to talk about how the Word transforms lives. Come on, y'all. There is no reason that all these goofy programs ought to supersede Almighty God. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you, men? God is calling us up. I said, God is calling us up. You know what I find interesting in the Bible? Jesus tolerated a lot of folks in the New Testament. Am I right? He tolerated murderers. He tolerated thieves. He tolerated robbers. He probably even tolerated Democrats. Come on, y'all. But can I tell you some folks that he did not tolerate? He did not tolerate folks that didn't bear fruit. And he certainly didn't tolerate lukewarm Christians. In fact, he had a word for them: hypocrites. Let me just remind you of something. Matthew chapter 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You tithe mint and dill and cumin, yet you've neglected the weightier provisions of the law. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs. On the outside, you appear beautiful, but inside, you're full of robbery and self-indulgence. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup. But on the inside is nothing but death. And then Jesus says this: first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside may be cleaned as well. Friends, everybody say, I'm listening.
I'm listening.
Godless living does not leave a godless legacy. God is calling us up, telling us to make sure that we do everything we can to do the most important thing we can every day. Look up. The most important thing that we can do as a man of God every day is to seek him like we've never sought him before. It's not a sexy message. Doesn't get a big hand clap. I'm gonna say it again.
The most godly thing that you can do for your wife.
You want to turn that woman on? By the looks of some of y'all, you really need some help in that area. The most godly thing we can do for our women. The most godly thing you can do for your children and grandchildren. The most godly thing we can do for our community, for our state, for our country, is to seek God every day, starting today, like we never sought Him. Everybody say, I'm listening. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees. There's that word. What word is that? Woe. What are you saying, Rick? Great misfortune will follow the lukewarm man. Great misfortune and tremendous sorrow will follow the man who's a hypocrite. Go to church on Sunday, flirt with all the other women, and treat your woman like hell. Just keep looking straight ahead like I'm not talking to you. Great misfortune, great sorrow. You will be bereaved in your spirit if you continue that cycle of styling and profiling, of making sure that you offer nothing more than a nice impression. Everybody listen to me. A nice impression ain't saved nobody yet. A nice impression hasn't lasted. You need to seek the Lord. Listen to me, please listen to me. Brother, like you've never sought Him before. I said, you need to seek the Lord up there like you have never sought Him. I'm 63 years old. I have never seen what I'm watching in the United States of America. Every day we're turning right into wrong. We're doing everything from killing babies to cheating our way into school. You know what it's indicative of? Listen to me very carefully, Christian men. It's simply indicative of a culture that says, God, we don't need you. We're cool. We're cool. That's what it's indicative of. But let me remind you of something. Every man in here say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in Isaiah, the darker the hour, the greater the potential for the light to shine. Men, look up. You ain't got to have a flashlight to shine. You ain't got to be a certain height to shine. You don't have to have a particular degree to shine. In fact, God loves to use the least likeliest of folks. He picks them out. He loves folks from the backwoods. Anybody in here from the backwoods? He loves folks that live out in the country. He loves folks that worship out in the field. Y'all know who I'm talking about. He loves those Davids in our lives. But He's calling men to rise up. The only way that you can rise up is to get over yourselves. Ego is the anesthesia that deadens the pain of stupidity. That's a Hallmark moment for somebody. You'll never let people see Jesus if all they see is you. And so while we're playing church, the world is saying, come to my party. But I want to tell you, I want to go to a party who's hosted by a man named J-E-S-U-S. I heard He heals the sick. I heard He sets the captives free. I heard He restores sight to the blind. I heard when you're in trouble, He'll rescue you. I heard He can lift you out of pornography. I heard He can restore a marriage. I heard He can heal a broken heart. I heard He can do all things. Seek Him. If your grandparents were here, guess what they would say? Seek Him like you've never sought Him before. If your grandparents were here, you know what? We can learn a lot from grandparents, amen? I said we can learn a lot from grandparents, amen?
Amen.
How is it that our grandparents had less, but they had a greater quality of life? How's that? How is it that our grandparents didn't have any smart devices, yet they had wisdom? Wisest man I ever met in my life was that third grade dropout. He never rushed. I want this to sound like your grandparents. He never rushed. He was never in a hurry, and he was never late. We show up now anytime we want. We leave church anytime we feel like it. In fact, the key word in that sentence is feel. If we don't feel like going to church, if we don't feel like talking to a certain group of people, look straight ahead like I'm not talking to you, sir. If we don't feel like being involved, if we don't feel like joining the discipleship program, Jesus never said that a requirement of your discipleship is inextricably connected to how you feel. What are you saying, Rick? Get over yourself. Let me put it another way. He who wishes to follow me shall deny himself. Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. So I have this to say to all of us. That's the problem. I want to elevate men in the spiritual solution. I'm wondering if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that would join me right now and say, Father, I'm ready to make a new covenant. If you're willing, no matter where you are, no matter what your status is, how many of you are willing to make a new covenant with Almighty God today? Raise your hands. I'm gonna stay here, by the way, until every hand is up. If you ain't got no hands, raise a toe. I'll stay right here. Y'all with me? I said, are you here?
Yes.
Friend, in a few minutes, we're gonna ask folks to come to the altar. We have become so like the world in our churches that we don't even understand the biblical meaning of an altar. It's a consecrated area. It's a place of sanctification. It's a place where you bleed. The Hebrew word for altar means slaughter. It's not where you show up looking your cute self, wanting to become a better version of yourself in 5 minutes. Everybody listen to me, I'm begging you to listen. The Lord woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and said this. Are y'all listening? My son, stop coming to the altar to be fixed. When I'm placing a demand on you to come to the altar so I can break something. You know what it said in the Bible? It says in the Bible that those priests would accept and inspect the sacrifice. And if the sacrifice did not qualify, it could not be on the altar. What are we putting on the altar? What are our prayers? And why are our prayers so me-centered? Isaiah, didn't you teach us something? It was about the year of King Uzziah's death. I saw the Lord lofty and exalted, the train of his robe filling the temple. And all of a sudden, I began to see a celestial vision that was so profound, I became undone. And I said something like this right in the middle of my piety. Woe is me. Woe is me. For I'm a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. What are you saying, Pastor Rick? That altar is a place of confession, a place of consecration, so that regeneration shall take place. Don't worry about the time. Don't worry about whether your hustle is right. Don't worry about all your different prayer requests. Just seek him at the altar.
We sure do hate to interrupt Dr. Rigsby's powerful message, but we've run out of time for today's broadcast. This is Dr. Tim Clinton taking the reins again for Dr. Dobson all this week on Family Talk. Please visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org for more information about Dr. Rigsby and his popular book, Lessons from a Third Grade Dropout. That's drjamesdobson.org. Then click on the broadcast icon at the top of the page. Hey, if you're looking for more resources that encourage and guide you and your family, sign up for Dr. Dobson's valuable newsletter. Every month, Dr. Dobson takes time to write personal thoughts on tough issues that you may be facing. Simply call our toll-free number, 877-732-6825, and someone on our team will be happy to send you any of our newsletters. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Rick Rigsby's powerful message given at the Ignite Men's Impact Weekend. Here's a short clip of what you're going to hear tomorrow on Family Talk. Thanks for listening.
When given to my flesh, I make choices to appease my flesh, motivated based on my comfort and how I feel. God says, seek me at that altar, and I'll help you overcome that flesh.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director of the James Dobson Family Institute. I wanted to quickly tell you about a $300,000 matching gift we received from a generous friend of our ministry. What that means right now is that every donation you make to the ministry will be doubled. See how you can contribute to this grant by visiting us at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or call us toll-free, 877-732-6825. Thank you for your continued prayer and support of our ministry.